We have three prayer quilts this morning. They'll be on the table as you leave, so stop. There's strings there, threads. Tie a knot while you're saying a prayer. And then there's cards there for each of them. Please sign those cards as well so they know that your prayers were shared with them during this time of need. Now, let us continue in an attitude of prayer. God of Advent, we are waiting and watching. We come to you this day with heavy hearts, with concerns for family and friends, for world situations, for struggles at home, in our community, state, and nation. There are times when we feel powerless to affect any change. We withdraw into ourselves, quick to criticize and slow to change our own behavior. Today we are reminded that Jesus sets us free. We are reminded that Jesus is the one who brings the message of peace. He will help us to become faithful servant disciples. We know that we have much work to do. We need to focus on our own attitudes and actions. We need to focus more on your love and forgiveness. We need to share the love and forgiveness with others, not only during Advent, but throughout the year. As we enter into a time of silent prayer and reflection, Jesus hears our prayers and sets us free. Let us raise our voices as one in the prayer that Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today is from Luke 4, 16 through 21. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened onto him. He began by saying to them, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bob. Let's pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus came fully human and fully divine. We hear that and we celebrate that story of his birth and nativity story, and yet sometimes we take the remarkable miracle involved in it for granted. We tell the story, we have our nativity sets set up in our homes, and we come and we sing the stories of a babe born in a manger. And yet it is a remarkable story, and I just bring up 2 points. The first one is that God chose this time 2,000 years ago in this little tiny town a few miles from Jerusalem, the capital, in a backwater kind of country that was dominated by the Roman government at the time. It seems unlikely. It seems surprising. And the characters of Jesus' birth, his mother betrothed to Joseph, 2 unknown parents, shepherds called in by angels, kings from afar who bow down to a child that is from a lowly family. These are all unlikely things that happen and remarkable. And I believe that Luke put this in the scripture so that we would have the message too, that remarkable things can happen when God is present, even in our unremarkable lives. The second thing that I think is amazing to keep in mind is incarnation. That is Jesus coming in the flesh. When God chose to come in the flesh, God chose to honor us physically, humanity. What an amazing thing. If you have an opinion of humanity or even of yourself as something that is unworthy and lowly, remember that God has inhabited us, inhabited flesh, lifted us up and honored that. These are remarkable things to remember as we celebrate Christmas coming and this Advent story. Now, I have to say that with that in mind, it is not only important that we remember that Jesus was sent into the world, but by the power of Jesus, we are sent into the world as well. This December, we have been involved already in a study called Sent. We have over 100 people involved in this study in small groups and book studies here at the church. And we want to invite you, if you are not a part of it, to either join a study group, and you can ask Bob Fuchs about that, our director of discipleship, and he'll let you know. Or if you just want to study along, there are a few books left out in the community room. You could pick one up and sign it. And sign it out. So we have books for you to do the study. Last week, we talked about how Jesus comes to reconcile us, not only to God, but to one another. If you missed that sermon, I invite you to go to the podcast and pick it up there through our website. This week, we're talking about how Jesus sets us free. So I want to talk a little bit about the first hearers of this gospel story. They were members of Jesus' hometown synagogue. It's kind of like going back home. And where this scripture takes place is not during the birth story of Jesus, but at the birth of his start in ministry. In pastor circles, sometimes we call this Jesus' mission statement. It's where he gets up in front of his fellow worshipers and he says, okay, this is what I'm about. So he was in the synagogue in his hometown. They passed him the scroll of Isaiah. He unrolled it to what we call Isaiah 61, and he began to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." He talked about how he was sent to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for prisoners or the captive, to give sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free. Now, he put down the scroll and he sat down, which is a teaching position in those days. And so he sat down and he began to share with them. And the people were amazed at what he had to say. Now, when Jesus offered this from Isaiah, there are kind of levels of meaning. And the first thing we need to understand is that in the Gospel of Luke, when Luke talks about the poor, he's actually talking about the poor, not the poor in spirit, but the poor. And Luke has a leaning toward the poor. And so when Jesus comes, Jesus says, "I come to care for those who are on the margins, who have less, who do not have power, who are in captivity and are oppressed. That's who I am here for." But in addition to that, we understand that Jesus came to set us free from the captivities that hold us, from fear of worthiness, perhaps through sin and brokenness that we don't believe we can be connected to God, from fear of what we might be able to do in this world because we don't believe we have the skills or the calling, from fear of the other, the person who is not like us, that has a different story, a person we've already labeled and told their story with our assumptions, that Jesus comes to set us free from those places so that we can live fully into this world. So with that, I tell you this story. When I was serving as a pastor in Dundee, Michigan, at Dundee United Methodist Church, I was sent to a church that housed the Western Monroe County Food Bank. This giant room, and in this room were giant shelves, and on them were crates and stacks of food, all kinds of food, because all of the collections from the schools and from the post office and from the community would come to the church and be stacked in this room. In addition, at that church, they handed out the federal food on the western side of the county every month. So monthly, people would come to the church, about 150 people. They'd line up outside. They'd come in, and they would receive lots of food. And so I said to myself, this is great. I'm going to help pass out food. So the first time that I had the opportunity, I was there, and I helped set up the tables. And we had the tables in long lines, and on the tables were boxes of vegetables and fruit and cans and mixes and bags of rice and beans, and there was cereal. And the people were outside, and they came in, and they came to the first table, and at that table, their IDs and their information was checked to make sure they were eligible for the federal food, eligible for the food that was given, all of it. And so then they would come down the line, and we would all stand there, and as they came, maybe I would give them the two cans of vegetables, or maybe I'd be down with the cereal, and I'd walk out on the wild side, and I'd say, you get to choose your cereal, and they get to, you know, pick the cereal, and so by the end, they had these two bags, and I did that for a couple months, and I thought to myself, this is great, except there seems to be something missing, something that I don't quite understand. And in prayer, it came to me what the problem was, is I didn't know anyone. I didn't know their names. I didn't know their stories. There was no connection. I was kind of like, quite honestly, this kind of person in power bestowing graciously my can of corn. You know, that's it is. So this is what I decided to do instead. The next time it was time for distribution, instead of being in the line that handed out stuff, I went outside and I stood in the other line. And I started to talk to people, and I got to know their names. And through the months that followed, I heard their stories, and so that I could come back and I could ask questions. And pretty soon, I was praying with people. And this is kind of wild. I convinced the church members to actually let the people stand inside in line in the cold weather. And so it was a very different way to approach it, but I have to tell you that coming to the other side of the table made all the difference in that ministry. I believe for the people there who knew that there was someone who would call them by name and knew their stories, and it made a difference because it shaped me and made me a different person. I believe that coming around to the other side of the table, coming around even though we might have fear, coming around to the other side of the table and saying, you know, we're both about the same, even though we have these different life stories, and connecting with people is a powerful way to live. Now, this was something that Jesus brought to the people who were in Nazareth. What he was saying was that all people will be welcomed into this kingdom, and your stories and your assumptions will mean nothing in the grace of God. And you know, they were doing just fine until Jesus later in chapter 4 told them that it meant that non-Jews would be welcome too, the outsider. They were so angry, you might remember this from Luke 4, they tried to drive him off a cliff, and he was able to get away. They were fine until Jesus confronted their fear and said, with God in charge, with the Holy Spirit upon me, things are going to change now. And the way you do life will change as well. This is a call that comes to us in this Advent season, that Jesus is sent and Jesus sends us out to cross over those boundaries and to reach out in powerful ways. And it is something that is an imperative, and I'll give you a clue. What Jesus says in Luke 4, verse 21, is, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Listen to that word, today. Today. You see, in the Gospel of Luke, that's an important word. It is actually mentioned 12 times in the Gospel of Luke, and in the other three Gospels, Mark and Matthew and John, you only see it 9 times. And so Luke has kind of got the lock on the word today. And he often uses it in the context of radical change. Let me give you some examples. In Luke 2, as the angels are looking down on the shepherds, the angels say, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." We hear again, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled within your hearing." At the end of the Gospel of Luke, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, do you remember what he says to that one thief who comes to believe that he is the Messiah? He says, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Back when Jesus is with Zacchaeus and sees him up on a tree and asks him to come back down, and he says, "I must stay in your house today." And when he gets to Zacchaeus' house, he says, "Today salvation has come to this house." The word "today" is a signal that there is radical change. And what Jesus says is, my coming, my being sent by God, means that it is time for our lives to be different. And that's not tomorrow or next week or next month when we make all of the resolutions for January. It is today. Now, it is an amazing thing to think what that might mean in our lives. It means that we have to be ready to go to the other side of the table. Now, I'm a volunteer at Gleaners. Livingston County Gleaners is our food bank here in this county. And I will tell you, just between you and me, what I like to do best at Gleaners. In the back, where there's no one around, they got this table, it's the egg table, and they have these egg cartons, and you go to the giant cooler and you get the eggs that like are in the supermarket that some of them are broken. You ever wonder what happened to them? Okay, they go to Gleaners, and so they're all in there, and you go get them, and you open them up, and you take out the good eggs, and you make a new good dozen and throw away the broken ones. That's what happens. And I like that job because it's kind of like orderly and I get something accomplished and it looks kind of cool. And I take the egg cartons out and put them in the cooler in the store. It's great. But this is what I do know. Even though that's my favorite job, it's better for me if I go around the table and I'm out on the floor. I'm helping people weigh the food. I'm helping people count. I'm helping people find what they want in the grocery store that is Gleaners. I think that sometimes there are places we would prefer to be because it is safe and orderly and known, but to go on the other side of the table, to meet other people face to face, is where Jesus Christ sends us. I'm so happy to have Gaylord here. I was asking him before if it's true that they are the Blue Devils. They are up there in Gaylord, but it is great to have them here. And these young people have gone to the other side of the table. Today, or yesterday, not only did they help people to shop in a Christmas store, but they went down to Cass Community Social Services and they made mud mats. They did the work that people who are in recovery seeking jobs are finding work. They've actually done that work. They understand it. They've gone to that place. It is a courageous thing to do. This congregation made the decision this last fall to go into relationship with Mill Pond Manor. It is a federal housing here in our community. There are 59 residents in 58 apartments. A lot of people who live on their own, and we have made a commitment to be in connection with them and to build relationships not only between ourselves and that community, but with each other in that community. Last week, we introduced the idea that we'd like to give each member of that community a Christmas gift. It's $30 if you'd like to sponsor a Christmas gift. And because it's federal housing, they all have to be the same, so we'll be giving a nice gift to all the residents. But this is just the beginning of what we will do to be in relationship with people. I have to tell you, it is a delight, and I know there are people here in this congregation that are participating in this, when we can go in to events at Mill Pond Manor and know people's name, and they know our names. We are in relationship. And it's because this congregation values being connected in community and going to the other side of the table. Now, a few A few weeks ago, I heard a presentation from the manager of the Gleaners here in Livingston County, and she talked about nudging. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of this. If you're in marketing, you may have, but this is just the coolest thing I'd never thought about, is that nudging is used to convince us to want something we didn't know we wanted. And it's in stores. You can go into a grocery store and think about like end caps and product placement and attractive settings and signs, that all of those things are nudging us to buy things. So when you go in and you just see this abundant stack of Hershey's candy or abundant stack of crackers or cookies, you say, oh, I think I need some of those. And you take them and you leave. Well, what they found in food banks is if they use the practices of nudging to display healthy choices, that people are more likely to choose those products. So Cornell University did a study and found that with nudging, choices in healthy groceries rises about 43%. And so if you have large, attractive stacks of fresh vegetables and other things that are more healthy for the diet, people are more likely to take those. Now, with that in mind, I've been thinking about this nativity story and this time of Advent. You know, if God wanted to, God could have come in a very different form than a baby laying in a manger in a stable. God could have come riding on a cloud, like well accessorized, you know, with light and gold, and with an army of angels with him. That's how God could have come. But God chose to enter the world in humility. And I would say to go to the other side of the table, to go and to meet people face to face so that full forgiveness and reconciliation could happen through him. And I believe that the choice to be, to come as a child, to be in the flesh with us, is our nudge. It's the setting that says to us, you know, if God can do this, I think I can too. I think I can go around to the other side of the table. I can stop these stories in my head and these assumptions, and I can reach out and I can make a difference in people's lives in a way that I never have before. We have to have a challenge for the day, and this is my challenge for you. That you might think of that place where you have feared to tread. That place, it might be changing your narrative about a group of people and saying, I will be more open and less fearful. It may be making arrangements to in some way go literally to the other side of the table and to establish relationships with a neighbor, with the other in some way. It may be simply looking store clerks in the eye and asking questions that let them know that they are appreciated and noticed. And I say this not only for the young people who are here, but for all who are here. We celebrate today Bob Fuchs' call to the ministry and that he is being appointed. If you have it in your heart that God might be calling you to professional ministry or ministry larger than you have now, let that fear drop and let that take flesh in some way. Because God, through Jesus Christ, has sent us. Again, let us consider what it means for each of us to go to the other side of the table, sent by the one who has been sent to save the world. Let us pray. Lord, Lord, you know the places where we hold back, the places of our brokenness and doubt, the places of our sin, our regrets, our reluctance, you know those. And we are so thankful that you've sent Jesus to heal, to lift us up, to save us. And we ask now that as you have sent, you send again. Open us to move. Open us to break down barriers. Oh, Lord, set us free. Amen.